rerun that once again.
Madam Chair, the point that that Mr. Eber was making, the way the bill reads now, that once we have acknowledged a comprehensive plan, and in that acknowledgement we have approved resource land for rural residential development, in other words, approved an exception, that land can no longer be counted in this formula of 100 acres, the 50% question, or perhaps it's a 240-acre area, whatever. But if the plan had not been acknowledged, the county would have the flexibility to include that land if they so desired in the formula.
In a marginal land area.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Beth?
Ron, I'm not sure that I read that this way, and I want to ask you. As I read it up, you were referring in terms of acknowledgement to line one up there, no exception has been acknowledged, correct?
Correct.
Now, I'm not sure that that bears any relation to what you're saying in lines 6 and 7, because that just immediately precludes something from being designated as marginal. That makes, line 1 makes no reference to the parcelization test. As far as I'm concerned, that's an outright preclusion. That's what it says. Get a nod from Elizabeth. So in line 6 or 7, where you use the term designated for urban development or rural residential use, there's no interrelationship between that and line 1 above. This must mean something different, unless you mean designated in an acknowledged plan for urban development or rural residential use. Is that what you mean there?
I was explaining it as I understood the bill and what the intent was. It could be that the words are something else. Your interpretation may be correct, that you couldn't designate any lands that have been acknowledged in an exception as marginal, but you may use them in calculating the area for determining lots. I'm not sure that was the intent of the drafters, as I understand it, but that may be how it is written.
My impression of what you are saying is that what you want to exclude from the calculation is lands designated urban development or rural residential within an acknowledged plan. So if something later became urban development or rural residential through an exception after a plan has already been acknowledged, that could be included in the calculation. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I would qualify it. It's essentially what I'm saying, but I would qualify it in two ways. One is it would make sense that once an area has an acknowledged exception area, which means it's already parceled up and separated from ag land, that you wouldn't necessarily want to use that in then helping to bring more land that did not make it in the exceptions process to qualify it as marginal. But you don't, after acknowledgement, if a county amends its plan to take an additional exception, it still has to come back through some post-acknowledgement process for further acknowledgement. So you wouldn't be taking exceptions after acknowledgement that would not somehow come back through some review to determine consistency of the goals.
Well, again, would line 6 indicate the intent that you intended if it just said excluding from this calculation areas for which an exception has been acknowledged under blah, 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 rather than using designated for urban development or rural residential use when what you mean is for which an exception has been granted under
if
an
that's what the
plan.
Committee wants to do, that's how you could draft it, because you'd say an urban growth boundary or an exception that has been acknowledged.
Okay.
Because the urban development is, you don't take an exception to designated urban growth boundary. I'm just was explaining how I understood the bill. We didn't draft the bill.
I know. I'm okay. Trying to understand what people mean by it, so
if that,
so she went and she works on amendment, she knows what the intent was.
My understanding of the intent and what you would do after that line would be to clarify that urban development or rural residential as acknowledged or not acknowledged.
Representative Traynor.
I'm sorry, it's just you were opinion, right. Not necessarily a question for our witnesses, but the more we go into this bill, it looks like it's the more full of traps it is that none of us really understand. And I'm coming to the conclusion we'd be better off to gut the bill and start over with what we want to do, whatever the committee wants to do, and try to make it in plain English so we could all understand what we're doing. I think it's really a... Every time we read another line, it comes out a different way.
Different way. that's why we will have for Wednesday a set of decision packages, and we may be better off again working like we did last time with concepts and then letting Ms. Norman write them up, which she did an excellent job of doing last time, and dealing it with it. Dealing with it that way, because I think what we're running into problems is what we interpret, one person interprets a bill saying and what the intent of that bill is. And we are having some, I think all of us are struggling with the bill in that regard. I don't know, I'm speaking only for myself. But
I think you're speaking for more than yourself.
What I would like to do, there are some people that I would like to see after, so if some people in the audience, most of you in the audience, would please stay afterwards. I would like to take, Dick, you've got some charts, Mr. Banner. I see some plastic things there, and do you have a visual show for us tonight? Is that what those are for? What I would like to do is give the committee a chance to ask any questions from anyone in the audience tonight. We will have for tomorrow some decision packages. I would also like to announce any of you that have amendments, and if those amendments are only conceptual, that's fine. In fact, we might be better off dealing with the conception process instead of trying to deal with the language in this bill.
Madam Chair.
Representative.
In that line, one or two people have come to me, and if we were going to leave the word, the growing of 85 cubic feet per year of timber or something as a definition, they want the word economically growing, because if you went to extreme means, maybe that represents something. What are you saying, Beth?
I think Representative Abrams also has an amendment to that effect, Representative Abrams.
Okay, but that's one I would like to have you take into consideration if we're going to leave that kind of a definition in the bill.
Okay.
Madam Chairwoman,
there are a couple that before people leave tonight, though, there are a couple of, I think, decisions on the direction we're going to go that we need to make tonight that won't take us long, so we can.
Let's do that now.
Well, shall we see what this chart's all about first? Yes, Dick and Hector.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this is a chart that the planners at 1000 Friends have been working on for about 6 months. And it's an effort to display visually the areas in the Willamette Valley, or a portion of the Willamette Valley, and I'll explain that, for which exceptions have been taken from Goals 3 and 4, principally from Goal 3. Now, what is shown here is...
You can all come up and look, people. You don't have to sit there on your desk. It's okay to walk around.
Would you put a couple mics up, pointing
for a computer? Sure.
What you see,
Richard Banner
from 1000 Friends, as you can see, it's down on the floor. The entire valley is not quite finished yet. We're still working on it. We go all the way from Multnomah County, Portland, down, and I believe we finished Marion County, Benton County on the left. We haven't finished Linn County, and we haven't finished Lane County either.
The margins.
There's no marginal land shown on here. This is only urban growth boundaries. Land within urban growth boundaries is shown as black. The red are exceptions areas, areas for which exceptions have been taken and either acknowledged or approved by LCDC. And the white is what remains. And the outline of the area conforms pretty much to that land that is in farm use. It's the break generally between farm use and forest use.
Now, explain, where is that, Dick? Just show us.
Okay, this is Multnomah County.
Right. I understand that it's Multnomah County, but where is the line you use for the division between forest
and farm? The black line surrounding
the white, the red, the black.
Line. Oh, that black line.
Yes.
Okay.
Forest, that farm.
Okay.
If I might point out.
Ron, you need to say, just say your name.
Ron Eberly, Department, LCDC. Just to point out that Clackamas, Multnomah, Yamhill, Marion, and Polk counties are all acknowledged. So those exception areas are all acknowledged. Benton County, our review has really signed off on all the exception areas, and they're still working on some other issues. And in Washington County, all the built and committed exceptions we essentially approved, and there's this AF-20 area that's still being worked on as something extra. So that's pretty much the built and committed lands in these counties in the Northern Valley.
Question, Madam Chair.
Representative Parkinson.
Is that all strictly to state?
Yes, Representative Parkinson. Each, that's 1 square mile. That's, of course, what has taken the time, because the information that we've collected from the counties comes in at different scales. Counties use their own scales. There's no state law yet that requires them all to use the same scale. Yes.
So a square inch equals a square mile.
That's right.
Okay, now, excuse me, ma'am.
Representative Van Leeuwen, no, just so we get your names, that's all.
Are we showing this to, what are we really demonstrating from this as it relates to the marginal lands bill?
Well, when we started this project, we weren't putting it together for the purposes. That's right. We were just attempting to be able to display visually what it looked like, the amount of land that had actually been placed in exceptions. And the figure, and I don't know that the department can tell you exactly what it is yet in the Willamette Valley, but I've heard the figure 200,000 acres used before, which would represent, once we are completed, have completed Lane County, would be the land in red for which an exception has been taken from either goal 3 or 4 or both.
Dick, would you give us some examples of some of the exceptions? Just run through, a list of.
Take Corvallis down there that's got so much out around it.
Well, in the Corvallis area, like north of Corvallis.
You have to stand up to see that.
Right here.
Okay.
You're asking me to describe it for you?
Well, just give us some examples of what are the exceptions surrounding some. Or Newburgh, it's almost all surrounded by exceptions.
By and large, these are areas that over the years have been broken down into relatively small ownerships and parcels. That's pretty much what they represent.
Are they necessarily built on yet?
Some of them are and some of them aren't. We don't. We're going to have figures when we complete the project which would tell how much of the land is developed, that is, the parcels in them already have a house on them and can no longer be divided under the rural residential zoning that has been applied by the county, and how much of the land can accommodate more development, that is, could be divided into smaller parcels or have undeveloped parcels in them.
On those rural residential, what's usually the lot size for rural residential?
Generally 5 acres, 10 acres, and some of the metro counties in some areas like close in gets down to 2 acres, but I think the general pattern is 5 and 10.
For rural residential?
For rural residential, that's right.
Madam Chair.
Representative Trahern.
What percentage of the state population lives in the areas that you've got colored there?
I think it's 75% of the state's population is in the Willamette Valley. Is that
no,
right?
No, not in the Willamette Valley, within these areas you've got colored out here.
In the red or the red and the black?
Either or both.
You're talking about really Multnomah, Washington, the counties they've done.
Well, they've got a large area of black, and of course Multnomah and Washington County in the black area up there, and then they've got Salem and Corvallis. And I'd like to know what that represents of the total population of the state as far as residential housing is concerned.
Well, if I'm right that 75% of the state's population lives in the Willamette Valley, I'm sure it's true that most of that 75% is within the black, the cities and the urban growth boundaries around them. But I couldn't tell you what
the breakdown is. He's just trying to tell you a statewide of what you've got, what you're showing, what percentage of the population lives there. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
I can't tell you how much is in the rural area.
No, he's looking at all of those counties that you have represented on that map.
within those black lines that show the dividing between farmland and forest land in that map of the counties you're showing, he wants to know approximate percentage of population.
Of the state's population?
Of the state's population.
Well, it would be somewhat less than 75%.
Because you don't have Eugene.
Because you don't have Eugene, Springfield, several of the smaller Linn County communities are not included. I just have to guess at 60% maybe.
So you would say in that immediate area we're looking at there, that probably we're talking about 60% or better, using rough figures, of the state's population in those...
within the boundaries of those lines.
In the boundaries of those urban lines.
I think that's a fairly good guess.
Now, that does not include the farmland that has houses and stuff on it, is that correct?
Well, that's right. A lot of the a lot that is shown as white has either farm dwellings or non-farm dwellings on it.
So the red only looks at the exceptions.
Right.
Representative Parkinson.
Real quickly, you kind of slipped away there for a minute. Did you tell me that, like, the urban growth boundaries and everything are all to scale? These are all to scale. That maps to scale.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. One of the reasons for showing you this is that a point has been raised about whether the existing agricultural lands goal and forest lands goal, or changes that might be made in Senate Bill 237, are eliminating opportunities for rural residential development in the Willamette Valley. And what we're trying to picture here is that there is a lot of land in the Willamette Valley for which exceptions have been taken, some of which is developed, a lot of which is not. There are opportunities for rural residential development in the Willamette Valley. And that, of course, what you would add to this, if that's what you're looking at, is opportunities for rural residential development, what you would add is then opportunities for non-farm dwellings and farm dwellings and farm zones, and non-forest dwellings and forest dwellings in forest zones.
Madam Chairman, if I might, Russ Nepon. Dealing with Marion County, if you look at those red areas, I'd like to offer a couple observations. First of all, there's about 18,000 acres in there.
Can we pull up just a little bit that?
Just look at
your arms
area.
Are getting tired. Just put it down.
It's
what, Carol? Oh, we did.
Oh, Russ Nepon, Marion County. Marion County has about 18,000 acres of exceptions. You can see most of them are clustered in around the Salem area. A lot of those areas are the hilly South Salem Hills that I referred to, the portions of those that have been subdivided and developed. And I would say that characteristically, the average parcel size is probably between 3 and 5 acres in those areas. We found it very hard to get LCDC to acknowledge a boundary that included any parcels of 10 acres or more in size. So they were fairly carefully defined, and there are a few exceptions, I'll grant you, but generally, if you look at that, now we estimate that approximately half of that is developed to the density that the property owners are going to want to keep it at, 2.5 to 3 acres. So you're really looking at about 9,000 acres that's available for development in Maryland County, and if you divide that into 2.5, 3-acre parcels, you can see that you've got maybe the possibility of 3,000 parcels being developed in that area.
Russ, that ridge you mentioned, where would that be on the map?
Well, the hill areas that we're talking about are generally down through here, down in through here, and out in this area. And there are pockets of agricultural land in between them, but a lot of the marginal lands that I've been talking about, Parish Gap area, would be right in that area, in those white spaces that are the people that unfortunately didn't take advantage of loose land use laws 20 years ago and break it down, and now they're not able to do what their neighbors have been able to do.
That's a fix on
Any further questions with this? And then I would like us to make one decision which will help Beth put our decision package together for tomorrow.
I think we're going to have a gold rush for 3,000 watts and they're gone.
there's land within inside the urban growth boundary, and they can also move the urban growth boundary, so that it's not really a rural residential.
That's interesting to see this.
But then we're talking about modular, it's a 3-acre community, then why shouldn't they be fives or two and a halves or grow anything?
I think the committee needs to make the decision of whether or not we continue working with this bill and we try to put standards in the language and see what happens in that 2-year period. The other direction, I guess, is we can ask that LCDC, which they have Jim Ross testified against, but ask that LCDC write the rules and you postpone it for 2 years. And I guess I would, for whatever it's worth, tell you my own personal preference is I would like to see us go with putting some standards in the statute, make sure that we have good reporting so that we know exactly what has happened and refine that. I think it's just like our land use planning, Senate Bill 100 that was started 10 years ago and has continually been refined throughout the years. Marginal lands, I don't know if it's a new concept or not, but it would be dealing with a new amendment, a new goal, or whatever you want to call it. And I think we're all sort of know what we want and how do you get there. And do we want to try it for 2 years, or like Representative Parkinson said, you know, do you want to do an experiment in a few counties, or do you want to do the experiment statewide and see what happens? You know, and if we do that, then what do we look at to make it as easy as possible for the counties, whom I know don't have a great deal of money to deal with this? And I just need to know from the committee some consensus on the direction so that Beth can start putting decision packages.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
We know, I think we generally agreed we need to do something with a lot of records. I'd like to see us, if possible, maybe work through that tomorrow session. This session is really going fast. And I don't know what direction I want to take, but I want to throw it to the commission or try to work this bill over or everybody bring their concepts in and have legislative council write one for us. I lean to that a little more than any right now. But I know what I'd like to see generally, and I guess I'd be prepared to bring those concepts back in sometime tomorrow and be able to go with them. Another thing I'd like to throw out, really, is we've got the typical game players, Association of County Planners, the Association of Oregon Counties, we have the Ag Group, 1,000 Friends, Home Builders, so on, so on. I don't know whether those people would be prepared to try to get their act together in the next 48 hours or not. But if we don't get a bill out of here in the next week at the very outside, I mean, we were shooting for Friday to get a bill out. I don't think we're going to do it. If we don't get another bill out of here in another week, we're not going to have a bill. And so I don't know whether maybe some of the game players want to stay around afterwards and discuss this. I didn't want to leave the department out, of course. I'm just talking off my head here. But that's one way to go, is that these 5 or 6 or 7 game players could write a bill without getting so doggone technical with all these
tests of income and board feet and all this kind of stuff. If you can just say some easier way to identify marginal land, and if we aren't able to break marginal land below 20 acres, I think we just might as well forget it, because we're not going to do anything for anybody. You're going to have to get marginal land down to small acreage sizes to identify Mr. Pierce's problem, and you're certainly not going to do anything for the home builders unless you get them down to smaller sizes. There's a lot of problems here, and I don't know if we can resolve them, but I'd like to give it a shot.
Representative Trahan.
First, Madam Chair, a question to the Chair. You made a comment a moment ago about the possibility of dumping this off to LCDC.
Well, that has been suggested.
No, recognizing that they're not real thrilled at it. But you also made in that comment that something about postponing it for 2 years. Is it your suggestion that we might ask them to write the rules in the next 2 years, and then 2 years from now we start adopting those? Or conversely, is it your suggestion that we might tell them we want something in marginal lands, however we define that very loosely, and something in lots of record, go write the rules and implement it? I guess that's two options.
That's really two options, and you know, what several people have suggested, their suggestion has been to me, well, let's just throw it or give it to LCDC and let them write the rules and regulations, which they could probably do sooner than the 2 years. I guess my real concern, and it's not going to, hopefully it won't take them 2 years, is I think our priority has to be for the commission and the department to get the plans acknowledged. And we have given them some other tasks to also perform, such as writing what the rules and regulations are going to be for incorporation of new cities, because this committee didn't want to deal with it, and I think rightfully so. And my concern is, what else are we going to ask them to do? Are they going to have the time and money, and what are our priorities for this committee? So I don't see, by the time they get to it, which I would assume would be after July of 84, at which time they bring up periodic review, and there are some things dealing with economic developments, so some reasons that we want some of those plans to start coming up in a cycle, if they have the time. That's my main concern on that issue.
Madam Chair,
yes.
Thank you for answering the question. I would be very opposed to saying, gee, let's set this aside and let them work on it for the next 2 years, yeah, and then try to implement something, because I think that we need a marginal lands bill now, and I think we need a lot of record bill now, whether we get it all fine-tuned or not. But in answer to your other question of, you know, where's the committee coming from, I personally feel that the bill we have before us is not something that's workable, and I think that we might, if we're going to write a bill, we'd better back off and start and write a bill and do it in the next, as Jim Anderson said, in the next 48 hours or whatever, but get something cut and dried and simple and get it moving.
Well, I think there's no doubt that if we give specific directions, you know, through a bill, that the marginal lands concept will certainly be implemented sooner than if we just said, well, Commission, you do it. And I'm just looking for some direction on the committee, and if we want that lots of record and want marginal lands, that we start working on it and we go through, and we can use this bill as a basis, or we can go through and adopt amendments and then see what kind, or adopt conceptual amendments and see what kind of a bill we come out with.
Sure.
Representative Anderson, then Representative Hill.
I don't want to ask a question.
If I can get your attention.
I
just wanted to throw this out of there. I wondered if you could come back with a fiscal impact of
if we gave you guidelines in a bill, the things we like to see in a marginal lands and rulemaking to do both for farm and forest, can you give us a fiscal impact on what additional manpower and funds that you would require?
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, certainly we could take a stab at that. Could I make one comment?
Yes.
Madam Chair. Again, our commission's position, our position is we would prefer to have you do the definition. However, were you to kick it over to LCDC, I think we would much prefer that you address the various aspects of the bill that you can regarding lots of record and perhaps regarding 215, 213, sub 3 provisions, and instruct us then to implement marginal lands, but not wait 2 years for it to go into effect, because quite frankly, if you do that, I'm not sure we'll be around to implement it 2 years from now.
That's correct.
I agree.
That's exactly correct. Well, I think for this session, if we're going to finish the job